فتى إلا ليلى سيف إلا ذو الفقار لا فتى إلا ليلى.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Today in tradition number 31 from the Commander of the Faithful, from his collection, or from the collection of his traditions rather, 110 lessons for life from the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali, may God's peace and blessings be upon him. We want to look at a topic about being with the Ahlul Bayt, being not physically with them rather, but being followers of their footsteps, followers in their tradition, followers in the teachings which they have left behind for us. And in the tradition today, we want to look at the words of Imam Ali, may God's peace and blessings be upon him, to his very faithful and well-known companion, Kumail ibn Ziyad. Now, we've spoken about Kumail in previous discussions, but suffice it to mention his importance, that the famous Thursday night supplication, which the believers throughout the world recite faithfully, is known as the Dua of Kumail. And so we see the importance of this individual within the lives of Amir al-Mu'mineen, Imam Ali, peace be upon him, and the family of the Prophet in general. In the tradition for today, he shares the following thoughts with us, and he says, O Kumail, do not take anything from this religion except from us, our teachings, the Ahlul Bayt, so that through this you may be considered as being from us. When it comes to Islam and the way that the Commander of the Faithful has presented it in this particular tradition, we see that this concept of walayat, of love, of mastership, of authority of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them all, is one of the fundamental pillars, if not the fundamental pillar, after the belief of Allah, the belief in Allah, and the finality of the Prophet Muhammad, may God's peace and blessings be upon him and his family. And we see that this mastership, this authority that we give to the Ahlul Bayt, and this love that we show to them, is not just, and it should not just be a superficial love that we celebrate on their happy occasions, that we commemorate the tragic events of Ashura and the other commemorations that happen within the lives of the infallibles. Unfortunately, some Muslims today look at their relationship to the Ahlul Bayt, to the family of the Prophet, as being merely commemorations and events to take part in within their religious gatherings. And yes, this is a part of it, just as tawassul, as seeking an intermediary to Allah using the members of the family of the Prophet, is also a religious mandate, and it is something which is condoned by the Quran and by the traditions of the infallibles. But unfortunately, many people take these as being the only aspect of the religion. And in fact, we even have individuals who would go and sin and break the laws of Allah under the pretext of being followers of the Ahlul Bayt, meaning that they believe that the intercession of the family of the Prophet will benefit them, that it will actually reach them, and that there is no need for them to even lead a righteous lifestyle, and so that they can go on sinning and committing their acts of transgression with this understanding that they believe, this incorrect understanding rather, that all of their actions would be absolved, they would be absolved of all of their actions, and that God would forgive them, and that the Prophet and his family would intercede for such an individual. We don't want to really go into the depth of the discussion of why this is an incorrect notion, but suffice it to mention that this is not what the Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt have taught us. Yes, the walayah to the mastership, the authority of the Prophet and his family, is one of the most important pillar of the faith of a believer, but there are also limits and constraints to how we should actually implement this love that we have for the family of the Prophet. Sometimes we see that a person would just out of the blue, out of their own desires, want to follow what they think is the religious precepts of the faith. And they would not even refer to the Quran, to the Hadith, to the sayings of the infallibles, to the scholarship to determine the aspects of the religion. At one level, obviously this is a problem, as the tradition tells us that if we want to be of the Ahlul Bayt, if we want to be considered as being their sincere, dedicated followers, we need to ensure we take our religion only from them. So the first group of people who would simply make up aspects of the religion are one of the areas that the Imam is condemning in this portion of the tradition. The second thing he talks about, or the second aspect that we want to look at, are those who use their intellect, who think about things, who don't just, for example, follow something because they think it to be correct. But unfortunately, the second group of individuals, what they end up doing is taking their own personal opinions, what they want to do within their life, and then they look at the verses of the Quran, they look at the traditions of the infallibles, and they try to determine or find a way to perform those actions that they want to do based upon their incorrect reading of the Quran and the traditions. This also becomes a problem on a much larger scale, because now they're not only justifying their own personal actions, but they're actually trying to use the Quran, to use this divinely sent book of guidance, and using the traditions, the statements of the 14 infallibles to justify their actions. And maybe they may even go forth and try to teach and promote this within society. So this becomes even a greater risk and a greater danger, not only for that individual, but for the entire society, when a person tries to base their understanding of Islam upon their incorrect reading of the sacred sources of the religion. The third and the final aspect of those who do not submit wholeheartedly to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt are those who would use their intellect, which is well and good. They refer to the Quran, they refer to the traditions of the infallibles. However, they still bring up innovations into the religion which are not a part of the religious teachings. They may come across a tradition or they may see a regular cultural practice within society, and not only will they try to prove that through the Quran and through the traditions, but they actually go forth and try to establish that action as a sunnah, as a tradition that was practiced or that would have been condoned by the Prophet and any of his successors. So this even becomes more of a challenge, because now these innovations take on a tint of having some religious legitimacy by these individuals using the sources of Islam to justify their own actions. And so as we conclude, we see that the words of the Commander of the Faithful ring true, that if we want to be of the family of the Prophet, if we want to be considered as true followers of the family of the Prophet Muhammad, may God's peace and blessings be upon him and his family, we need to take our teachings directly from them. Now, obviously, in the area of the era of the occultation, the ghaiba of our 12th Imam, we need to refer to the religious authorities who have been given the permission through their chain of teachers, who have proven time and time again to be those who are the only sources of guidance for the believers, and take our religious teachings solely from these learned men. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. يا علي يا علي يا علي يا علي يا علي يا علي أشايف إلا ذو الفقار لا فدا إلا يا علي أشايف إلا ذو الفقار لا فدا Ali, 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 Ali,